There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Always great to talk some baseball with Tim Kurkjian, Hall of Famer, and part of ESPN's baseball London broadcast there with Michael Kay and Alex Rodriguez, and contributor to Baseball Tonight. Before we get started, we just played a clip from Dennis Rodman saying if Larry Bird played in today's NBA, he wouldn't be in the NBA, he would be in Europe. I know you love your basketball. What do you make of Dennis Rodman's comments?
Well, that's absolutely preposterous, Dan. Larry Bird's great player in any era. He would be a great player today when he recognized how important the three-point shot is in today's game. He would be, after Steph Curry and maybe Klay Thompson, the best three-point shooter in the game. He is a top 10 basketball player of all time. He's one of the great interior passers I've ever seen in my life. He would be so good today because people don't play the game like he played it back then. Go look at those. I know you have those highlights of Larry's greatest passes. Back then, they all led to a dunk or a layup for the Chief and Kevin McHale. He was a genius at this game. He would be a star today like he was a star back then.
Yeah, and I know Dennis is just trolling us, and you go back to when the Pistons, when Larry, with no athleticism, stole the ball, the inbounds pass from Isaiah and fed it to DJ. And having been there at the Garden, when Dennis said if he was a black player, he'd be just another player if he were a black player. And I went, and Dennis is great at getting attention, so I think that's what he's doing here. But I thought I would ask you, being a big basketball fan.
Yeah, sorry, Dan. I just always loved it that Larry used to.
Uh-oh. Tim just froze up. Either that or it's a dramatic pause. Man.
Used to love it that Larry ...
What do you think he was going to say? Yeah, Paulie.
I think Tim's going to say, I love that Larry told the defense where he was going to shoot it on.
Oh, yeah, good call. Good call.
Okay. Right.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I'm with that.
Yeah. He did that a couple of times. My favorite was against Xavier McDaniel, where he said, X, I'm going to get the ball right here. I'm going to turn, fake left, and I'm going to shoot the jumper. And then he ended up doing exactly what he said he was going to do. Yes, Mark.
Tom Tober was on the show recently, maybe a couple months ago, and he was saying he was defending Larry Bird, and he was like, he put his hand up, he said, shot, and Larry Bird said, yes, it is.
I like that Bird used to get upset. Like, he wouldn't talk to a rookie. He would yell at the other players on the team to say, you're going to guard me with a rookie? Or he would say, wait, you're going to guard me with a white guy? Like, Bird would be... He would say whatever he needed to say when it was on the floor. Let's see if we can get Timmy back here. Tim, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Dan. Sorry. I've had computer problems all morning.
Okay.
I'm so bad at technology. I'm sorry.
You were going to say that you loved that Larry Bird would what?
He would call Madison Square Garden a gym. I love shooting in that gym. Everything was just a gym to him, which is why he was so great, because it was when he was 16 years old shooting in a gym, 18 shooting in a gym. Madison Square Garden was a gym to him, and that's another reason to love Larry Bird.
He's Tim Kirchen, Hall of Fame baseball writer for the Mothership. What was the, I'm not going to say end game, but baseball in London? Why?
Well, baseball's trying to globalize itself, and it was a great atmosphere there, Dan. It was tremendous. 54,000 people were there. And granted, there were a lot of Cubs fans and a lot of Cardinals fans there, but there were a lot of people in Great Britain that are starting to get interested in baseball. Now, it's going to take some time. It's a soccer country, obviously, but whenever you can put on a game with that much energy to it, and both games were like that, it's good for the game. Now, again, it doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to have a team in London within 5 years, or that the Brits are going to love baseball within the next 10 years, but it's always good to take the game somewhere else. And I was really struck, Dan, by how many players on each team really enjoyed the experience beyond the baseball field. They went to, you know, Tower of London, they went to, you know, Westminster Abbey, they went to Buckingham Palace, and I talked to 20 different players, and they were all dazzled by the history of London. It was like I wasn't even talking to baseball players at certain points. Paul DeYoung, shortstop for the Cardinals, looked at me after a while, and he goes, you know, isn't it amazing? Because they took a trip down the River Thames on a boat. He said, isn't it amazing how every great civilization is built on a river. Believe me, you don't hear that from too many shortstops in the big leagues, but I really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed talking to Miles Michaelis about this. He went to Westminster Abbey. He said, that place is 1,000 years old, and it's way better built than what we build anywhere today. So it was a really good experience for everyone, I thought, and it was refreshing to me to talk to baseball players about something other than baseball.
The Aaron Judge injury is puzzling, because when he got hurt and then they thought he was going to be back a couple of days later and it was a strained toe, then we realized that it's far more serious. Wouldn't the MRI have shown that when the swelling went down, that this is far more severe? Did the Yankees hide this for any reason?
I don't think they hid anything. I just don't think they knew the severity of it. I mean, this toe injury, I'm not sure we've ever heard of an injury quite like this. But I think it speaks again to how easily you can get hurt playing baseball. And given the degree of difficulty of the game, if your feet aren't working properly, you're not going to be able to play the game. And just another reminder, this game is not built for someone who's 6'7", 282. And when he suffers an injury like this, I have to think it's going to be even worse than, say, if someone my size got the same injury, because there's so many more moving parts to Aaron Judge. But this is a serious situation. I think he'll play again this year. I just don't know when it's going to be. And this is just another reminder of how different a club they are.
Yeah.
When he doesn't play, they're a completely different team when he doesn't play.
Yeah, and then you look at this team that they built, and then you realize, are they a house of cards? Because you don't have Aaron Judge in there, then everybody else falls apart. You know, the Giancarlo Stanton contract was horrible. Josh Donaldson and some of these other players they've kind of thrown in there. And then you start to think of the value of Aaron Judge. You know, Shohei is probably the most valuable player, but what Judge means to the Yankees, man, that's pretty surprising that they fall apart. We're talking to Tim Kirchen, ESPN baseball analyst. We were talking about the College World Series and the aluminum bats. I don't know if you're a fan or not. I'm not. I don't like the ping. But the cost of those bats, is that really what it comes down to? That's why we have aluminum bats in college?
Yes, absolutely. That's, to me, the only reason why. And I'm sorry. I'm with you, Dan. I just don't get it. This is an exceptionally high level of baseball. They should be using wood bats. You know, there's a Sandlot team in the Cal Ripken League that plays 20 minutes from my house called the Big Train, and they use wood bats in summer because that's what they should be using. But just keep in mind, Pete Incaviglia once told me that he broke 144 bats in one season. He went through 12 dozen bats. He used a bat with a really skinny handle and a barrel the size of a canned ham, so he could swing as fast as he could, and he just overpowered his own bat. Kevin Reimer used to play for the Brewers. B.J. Suroff told me he broke 5 bats in one day. He made an out and broke it like several times during a game, and then he came back and just snapped one in half at the bat rack because he was so upset. Bats break very easily, and so I think that's it. I think it's the cost more than anything else, because a good aluminum bat can last a long time.
Well, I also wondered about this. We may have seen the two or three best players in this draft coming up in the College World Series, but we rarely hand off the baton for somebody in College World Series, and then they go right into, the Brewers starting lineup. They're going to be gone for a couple of years in the minors and then coming back up, I'm guessing, with some of these players. They're not able to take advantage of this platform here. And you go, I can't wait to see that guy, playing in the majors in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but again, Dan, this is why we love baseball so much. It is so damn hard to play that even if you're a dominant player in a Division I program, the best program in the country, that doesn't mean you're going to step into the big leagues and suddenly be good. I mean, it's happened before. Bob Horner didn't go to, just went straight from college to the big leagues and was a great hitter. And there are other instances of that, but it just shows you if you're a cornerback at Michigan and you weigh 220 and you love to hit people and you can run, you're going to play in the NFL the next year. It doesn't work that way in baseball because of the degree of difficulty of the game. And that's why I love it so much, is it takes time in the minor leagues in order to be good enough to play in the big leagues. And that's just not exactly the same as it is in basketball and football.
If you ran the Angels, at what point do you consider trading Shohei Ohtani, if at all?
I don't consider it at all unless they are hopelessly out of the playoff race at the end of July. And I don't think they're going to be. Their only hope is to try to make the playoffs with him and convince him, look, we made the playoffs, and we're going to make the playoffs again next year. Now, I'm not suggesting that's going to happen, but they have to convince him we're going to win here. Also, keep in mind, Dan, with him, he is obsessed with winning, of course. He's also obsessed with his own numbers, and he's also obsessed with the comfort level on where he is playing. If he's not comfortable playing in a certain place, like his career average at Yankee Stadium, small sample, is not good. And if he doesn't feel comfortable hitting at some ballpark or pitching at another ballpark, he may rule that place out. He's very comfortable with the Angels, and I'm not suggesting he's going back to the Angels, but he sure loves to hit and pitch in that ballpark, and there is something to that.
Yeah, the downside is, though, they could lose him for nothing.
Right. And again, this is why we need to ask this question every day for the rest of the season and until the day he signs. What do the Angels do? I've never seen anything quite like this. You can't just lose him for a draft choice, and yet you can't trade him if there's any chance you can keep him. That's the real tricky part about this.
Great to talk to you again, Timmy. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, Dan. See you soon.
That's Tim Kirchen, ESPN baseball analyst, and he is a Baseball Hall of Famer. Love his enthusiasm. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, big day, big hour, big moment coming up. Are we taking the show to Dublin? Now, I didn't say Ireland. It could be Dublin, Ohio.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not quite sure.
Oh, if you do that, that's just wrong.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
We'll check in with the big German. He is in Dublin. This was a site survey for those in the business. We sent the big German over for a site survey. And I said, look for a building that says Ireland, speaks Dublin, and... maybe we could take our show over there for three shows and we'd go see Notre Dame and Navy. By the way, Navy is a 20-point underdog against Notre Dame at the end of August. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @TPShow. Say good morning. Those watching on Peacock and our great radio partners, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio as well. Operator Tyler standing by to take your phone calls. The final hour poll question is going to be what, Seton O'Connor?
Well, Dan, we just put up there, are you more afraid of heights or the ocean? And right now, 58% of the audience are more scared of heights.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I would say I'm both, 100% both. If I had to pick, I would say more nervous about the ocean.
You know what you forget? You forget about how powerful the ocean is.
Oh,
when you're standing
yes.
sometime, if you ever got caught a little bit and yeah. you're trying to swim in and yeah. you're like, dang, this is taking a little longer than maybe it should.
Or you get one of those waves.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, did that hurt.
Yeah.
When you get knocked down to the ocean floor.
And you can't tell which way is up or down because you're sort of tumbling through the wave.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So final hour coming up. The NFL coach is already on the hot seat. We'll have that for you coming up. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network will join us. I'm declaring June NFL coaching hot seat month, at least the end of June here. And I'm thinking one of those coaches is the guy who just got extended in Buffalo and Sean McDermott. I feel like Mike, it's AFC title game or bust for him. Because it feels like they're not as impressive, dominating, forceful, the team or one of the two teams to beat. But it feels like there's a lot at stake there. But they did extend him, I think, to 2027, which I was surprised at. I think it kind of came out of nowhere. Almost felt like, hey, this Stephon Diggs thing is dominating the headlines. How about something else to talk about? How about Sean McDermott getting a contract extension? All right, we'll have that for you coming up here in a little bit. College World Series, congratulations to LSU. So that is four consecutive national champions from the SEC, LSU joining Mississippi, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt. All right, big moment here. We go live to Dublin, and I almost called him Dumplin. We go live to Dumplin on the streets of Dublin. He's the big German who's there, site survey. He joins us now from the streets of Dublin. Recap the last 2 days, the site survey. Where are you right now, by the way, Eric? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, it froze up.
What is happening?
After the break.
Oh, no.
It's a nice picture.
It is. Okay, you're back. Okay, that wasn't a good sign. If we're trying to do a show over there, we can't even do a live report. Let's go out to the big German on the streets of Dublin. Where are you right now?
I'm joining you from Temple Bar. Longtime employee, first-time Zoomer. Okay. 6'1", more than I'd like to admit.
Okay, recap the last 2 days, site survey, Dan Patrick Show, doing our program over there.
Lots of Guinness, obviously. Mm. Walking around, I found lots of buildings, lots of options. Trying to find something centrally located, but not too central. I don't know if you remember Miami, but we've got something perfectly central right next to the fire station. So we're going to try to avoid that here.
Okay, but, we had that in Miami. So yeah, we had that in Miami. So do we have a place?
We have several options.
No.
Do
we have a place to do the show that you're like, comfortable with your reputation on the line?
As Todd would say, who wouldn't want to have a place with my reputation on the line?
Will you answer the question?
Yes, we have.
Yeah!
We have
a place. That's it, Eric. We just wanted to let people know we're coming over and see if they care about this. There's a lot of people behind you.
No.
We don't need man on the street here. No, we don't need that.
Excuse me, man.
Excuse me. Do you know who Dan Patrick is?
Yeah.
Of course they do.
So we have a place that means we're going?
I'm here. I'm not leaving, by the way. I'll see you guys.
Well done.
Okay. But we're going to be in the Temple Bar area, or can you give us an idea just in case anybody happens to be going over there for the Notre Dame Navy game?
So there's a street. I don't know if it's Dame Street or Dom Street, but either way, it's spelled D-A-M-E. And for the weekend in August during the Redwood game, that's going to be Notre Dame Street. And our set is going to be very close to that.
Okay. How close is the nearest pub to where our show is going to be?
Once you get on the ground level, we are sub 45 seconds to a bar.
Can you get any closer than 45 seconds for me?
I looked at a few bars to tape from the inside.
Yeah.
Without getting too deep in the weeds, technically it's pretty difficult to do a live 3-hour broadcast across the pond from a bar. So I think we're going to be in something a little more with a little more infrastructure, but very close to a bar.
Okay. All right.
Maybe we could build a bar on the set.
Oh, I like that because we have a new whiskey sponsor. Keeper's right. Heart. Yeah, we have a new whiskey sponsor, so that'd be nice. All right, Eric. Well, thank you. And you have the rest of the day off, and then we'll see you when you come back home. Great work by you. How about a round of applause?
Yeah, big German.
Big German there.
Do well.
Yeah.
Cheers, lads.
Yes. Cheers, lads.
Yeah, lads. Yeah. Let's go.
Okay. So there you go. It's official now.
Wow.
We're going to Dublin at the end of August.
Yes.
Oh, it is.
Oh, my God.
This is 3 years in the making. Didn't this start with Will Ferrell?
We talked about it a few years ago, and there was an announcement about a Notre Dame game in Dublin.
And we're just speaking out loud of that'd be great to take the show over there.
Yeah, and then a couple weeks later, we had Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso, and great actor, and we happened to have him on the show, and Will called in when Jason Sudeikis was on the air to kind of jump in on this.
Do we have that?
I think we could find it.
Could we find that, Marvin? See if you could find that when Will called in. Okay, now, do I reach out to Will Ferrell?
Or
just as a courtesy.
Or do you play coy?
Oh, wow.
Because the obvious move is to ring Will Ferrell up real quick.
Well, what if he finds out about this and that we're going and he's the one that was helping with the idea 3 years ago?
Because if he's serious about going, then and then you don't tell him, now you're going to hurt his feelings. He's going to be like, what the heck? I thought that this was our thing.
He is shooting a movie in Atlanta with Reese Witherspoon.
Fun.
She can come.
You know what? Maybe I'll text him. Maybe I'll just say, hey, by the way, in case you hear about this, we were thinking about going to Dublin. Because I don't want to put pressure on him because he's shooting a movie. Trying to figure out what's politically correct here with Will Ferrell. Because he was part of the momentum of this a couple of years ago. Yes, yes, Paul.
He often listens to the show.
I know, but he's in Atlanta. He might be on the movie set right now.
Will, you're totally welcome to come to Dublin with us.
Yeah.
You get the fake invite.
Yeah, that didn't sound like...
We don't want to seem too anxious.
Okay, what's worse? How we're going to invite him or how he's going to say no? But he does a lot. He's always busy. Like can you take 4 or 5 days to come over? Because he wanted to be a Danette. He just wanted to be on the show. Yes, Ty.
No, the text is the way to go. This way he can, at his leisure, check his phone. You extend the invitation. There's no guilt about, hoping that he found out somehow because we just announced it. He's got to hear it from you is the way to go.
From me or you?
I think you, the host of the show, you need to personally let him know that this has officially happened.
Okay. All right.
Because, I mean, I could tell him, but he's going to be like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah. No, he knows who the Danettes are.
Oh, yeah.
He knows. Yeah, he knows. Okay. I'm going to wait a day, and then maybe word gets to him, and then maybe he'll say, hey, don't forget about me. Maybe he'll make it easier for me. Yes, Paul.
Now, we're getting that sound of Will on the show from a couple years ago, but I remember him saying something like, you know who else would want to go? Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's big Irish guy.
Yeah.
I think he's been there before and loves it. Paul Rudd, open invite.
Okay. All right.
He seems busy, too.
But then Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso, kind of said that he was in.
He was in on it.
Yeah, we have to find that audio clip. Yes.
We just got a tweet from James in Oklahoma saying, why am I so excited other people are going to Ireland?
Yeah. Well, that you live vicariously through us. And that's what we're going to be taking you with us, whether you can go with us or not. Tyler in Michigan. Hi, Tyler. What's on your mind today?
6 foot, 230.
All right.
So I'm headed over. Thank you. Headed to Europe for the Open Championship, and we're stopping in Paris, Amsterdam, London, Liverpool, Dublin at the end.
Okay.
So any recs you guys have, and suck it, James. I'm going to Dublin, baby. You're not.
All right. I have recommendations, but it's a lot of different places to go to. Yes, Pauline.
Dan, this goes back, this clip from...
we have this, Will Ferrell?
February 19th, 2016. Jason Sudeikis, the actor, was on the show.
Wait, it's been 7 years that we've talked about this?
Yeah, I got this, from 2016. Jason Sudeikis is promoting this sports movie he did, and he was in the middle of an interview with Jason Sudeikis, and all of a sudden, Will called in.
All right, here's Will Ferrell, Jason Sudeikis.
Dan, you were talking about doing shows in Ireland yesterday?
Yes.
When?
Yeah. I just was calling in to say if you guys do shows in Dublin, I'll fly myself out there to be a guest.
This seems like an email. Okay.
It probably could have been a text, but I just had to call.
You know, I've always said, right. Will Ferrell, a gentleman first. You know,
right.
he'd rather do it, you know, voice to voice, face to face.
I'd rather do it the old-fashioned way than, you know, through the social media, through all this stuff. So I'm old school that way. And anyway, I'll let you guys get back to what you were talking about.
Well, Jason has to go. He's on a schedule there.
Oh, you're on a schedule? Okay.
Yeah, he's promoting a movie.
Yeah, not myself. You know,
so
and I'm doing
Will, could you stay on hold for a moment here? I just want to say goodbye to Jason and wish him good luck with the movie.
Okay. Jason, good luck. When is it opening this weekend?
Yeah, it opens today.
Well, look out for Zoolander. If you're hearing footsteps, it's from We've Got To. Okay.
Jason, thank you for joining us, and good luck with the movie.
Absolutely. And Will, very nice to chat with you again.
Great to talk to you, buddy.
Hey, and for real, Dan, if that Dublin stuff is going down, I wouldn't mind a piece of that either.
You're in.
I love their cereal.
Yes.
Love their cereal over there.
thank you, Jason. That's Jason Sudeikis. The movie is Race. It's in theaters, starts today.
It looks great.
I'd love to have you join us in Dublin if that's something that you think you could fit into your schedule.
Because I'm listening yesterday, and I'm hearing, listening to you guys think out loud, and I love the idea of broadcasting from the Guinness factory.
Yeah.
And so I'm just throwing my hat in the ring. If you guys do make that decision to go over there, I will come on as a guest. If you don't want me, I'll just sit on the sideline, but I'll just be in the area.
How about you co-host with me?
Great.
So that's 7 years ago. God, I can't believe it's been that long. All right. Well, I got to reach out to Will and do it in a way that I don't make him feel guilty. Like, hey, you asked for this 7 years ago. Are you in with us? Maybe he'll hear about it. And then he'll say, hey, don't forget about me. Yes, Todd.
Yeah, but if he hears about it before you tell him, I don't think you play that game.
Okay, so you want me to be proactive?
I think you text him as soon as possible and say, we just announced this on the show, and I want you to be the first to hear it.
We'll take a break. I'll text him and see if I hear from him. Yes, he.
What if he tried to be a little more like casual about it? Be like, hey, you ever been to Dublin looking for some food wrecks?
Wait, and I say that to Will?
No. And then I'll be like, you're doing that trip. Oh, yeah, we're finally doing that. No, is that too?
I think that that's saying, hey.
Oh, I'm going. I don't want you to go?
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. That's not the way to play it at all.
Yeah, no.
That's terrible.
I have to say, hey, today's your lucky day. It's going to happen in August. Hope you can still join us. Like, I have to be excited that we're thinking about him. That's 7 years ago. Yeah, Paul.
I'm looking at Will Ferrell's IMDb. He's got like seven things in development.
Yeah, I know.
He's got to be busy.
But he might be busy, but I'd rather give that welcoming invitation. Like, we do want him to go.
I heard he spends the summer in like Finland
or
Norway.
Sweden. Yes, Todd.
How are producers and directors okay with one of their stars leaving for a few days to go to another country and then come back and resume shooting?
He can bring Reese Witherspoon.
Oh.
You know, she's divorced.
Oh.
Yeah, she got divorced.
Yeah.
She would love to hang out with a bunch of sloppy guys like us. She'd go back to her husband.
How about we take a break? We'll talk some football coming up. I'll send a text to Will Ferrell. We did it, guys. We finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dublin. We're doubling down.
Oh, okay.
Todd has entered the chat.
7 years ago. 7 years in the making, going to Dublin. People said it wouldn't happen. People said it shouldn't happen. But it did. Let's take a break. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Paulie Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
Of course, you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Paulie and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
Now, the suits at Fox Sports Radio gave us this airtime because they wanted us to tell you how great our show is.
Why?
Yeah, instead of us doing that, let's just let our millions of fans do the talking.
Yeah, play the tape.
You don't know crap about sports. I mean, why am I even on this crap?
Whoa. That's the wrong tape.
Wrong tape.
Just forget that. Look, listen to the Paulie and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Pelissero on loan from NFL Network and co-hosting Good Morning Football, joining us here. A couple of things I wanted to talk to you about. I know it's kind of quiet in June for the NFL, but I was wondering, when Sean McDermott got his contract extension, the first thing I thought was, this is a guy who could get fired if they don't go to the AFC title game, it feels like, this year. Am I making more out of this with Sean McDermott than I should be?
I think that those extensions, which really were done, from my understanding, quite a while ago, it wasn't something that just happened after the Stephon Diggs thing. This were, you know, a lot of times they want to get the GM and the head coach done at the same time. So if one contract's done early, they don't announce anything until you get later on to the offseason. With Sean McDermott and the Bills, I think that there's a lot of the national narrative seems to be missing the circumstances of last season. I mean, they've built a stable program in a place that did not have a winning culture for a long time previous to that. You go back to the end of October last season, the Bills are 6-1. They had beaten the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. From that point forward, the following week, first week of November, Josh Allen messes up his elbow, and he was not right for months. He was wearing a brace for a while. That altered his mechanics. He finally shed it toward the end of the year and was throwing the ball again, but he really had to work through it, and it was a significant injury. Von Miller tears his ACL. You had the game that was moved at the last minute to Detroit. That was one of their home games. They played three games away from home in a 12-day span. You had the DeMar Hamlin situation that right before – you know, the beginning of the playoffs, because that was, I believe, a week 17 game, and that upended everything and created all these different questions. And of course, also, I mean, the Bills are the first team in modern NFL history that had to watch one of their teammates literally die on the field and come back to life. And there were other circumstances throughout the course of the season. You go back to training camp, Dalton Knox's brother tragically passed away. Kim Pegula, the owner, had a heart condition. She has not returned to the team, and she was really omnipresent with that building. Listen, everybody's got adversity. Everybody's got injuries. But the number of things that happened to the Bills, particularly in the second half of this season, I don't think should be discounted because you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, it really did take a toll on that team. You're hoping now, if you're on Josh Allen's going to have a healthy elbow and they're going to be not have any type of tragedies happen to them through the course of the season, maybe this team's going to be pretty good. I don't not get the sense at all that Sean McDermott is on the hot seat in Buffalo. Obviously, there's a lot of different things that can happen, but I think that you have to take the context of last season with, you know, when you're talking about evaluating the future in Buffalo.
Brandon Staley, Mike McCarthy, those seats warm?
Depends how they play. I mean, with in Dallas, I think that there's always, I mean, listen, if the Cowboys lose in week one, there's going to be people talking about should they blow it up and should they make major changes. That's the nature of being with the Cowboys. You know, what I think is interesting with them is Jerry Jones is 80 years old. We know how desperately Jerry wants to win a Super Bowl. Yet you look at the things that they've done since Mike McCarthy's gotten there, they haven't made desperate type of moves. They haven't gone all in on a single season. They're building through the draft, which McCarthy believes in, and then supplementing with low risk types of moves. You know, the Brandon Cooks trade cost them virtually nothing. The Stephon Gilmore trade was for a fifth round conditional pick. You add some of those guys, but that program is built through, you know, it's going to be Micah Parsons and it's going to be Trayvon Diggs. It's going to be CeeDee Lamb and obviously Dak Prescott. And they want to get a deal done with Tony Pollard. You know, those are who you're building through here. So I think that, you know, externally, while I understand that there's always that heightened level of angst or speculation, whatever you want to call it in Dallas, everything I've heard, I mean, Jerry is a believer in what Mike McCarthy is building there. Now, McCarthy obviously takes a lot on his shoulders here because he's now calling the plays. Kellen Moore's moved on to the Chargers. So that's one more way that things are going to be directed at Mike if this doesn't go right. But, you know, Mike's had a lot of success as a play caller within the league. They're going to do some things differently schematically and philosophically, even though they're still working in the language that Dak is used to here. So obviously, if things don't go well, I think the public look at the Cowboys is going to be different than what's happening internally. It just depends how this season goes. And then with regard to the Chargers, you know, Brandon Staley's in the third year of his contract. They have been, you know, a productive football team, particularly on offense over his first couple of years. And he made the bold move of picking up Kellen Moore, who became available because it became apparent in Dallas that they were going to make some changes there. They really think that that's going to unlock some things with Justin Herbert. I think inevitably when you've got a really good young quarterback and you've got the amount of talent that the Chargers have on the team, results are going to drive a lot of different things here. But the Chargers have also not made a habit of firing coaches with money left on their contracts. And there's a belief level in Brandon Staley. I mean, they remade some things in this offseason. They entrusted him to make the change with the offensive coordinator. They're believers in what they potentially can be from a personnel perspective as well, because, and I hate to make it sound like we're making excuses for all these teams, because again, everybody's got injuries, but they won a bunch of games last year where Justin Herbert was doing it almost entirely on his own. He didn't have his left tackle, Rashawn Slater, for almost the entire season. It seemed like they never had all three of their wide receivers together at the same time. Defensively, Joey Bosa missed time. Derwin James missed some time. J.C. Jackson was their big scorer in free agency. He didn't really play the entire season. They're set up. I think that they're the team that nobody's really talking about here. And I got a chance to talk to Brandon Staley about a week ago here. You know, he's very confident in what they've built. They thought that they had a really good draft. They built a basketball team in that wide receiver room. I think they're going to be a really fun team to watch because Kellen Moore's had some really productive offenses. And I think that we all as football fans like to see Justin Herbert throwing it all over the place.
Boy, leave it to Tom Pelissero to let the air out of this segment where I thought we might have coaches on the hot seat. is there any coach who's on the hot seat going into this season?
I mean, I think that, you know, inevitably the coaches, I always look at it this way. If a coach is going into year three and they've not won a playoff game, then you can fairly say that there's going to be speculation about their job, right? Because not many guys get an opportunity if they don't win a playoff game for 3 years to come back for year four. So Brandon Staley would fall into that category. Okay. Mike McCarthy fell into that category the year before. I think Sean McDermott's in a different spot just because they have won as consistently as they have. Yeah, you want to get to the mountaintop here, but you know, there's always a degree of randomness and even luck to come winning the Super Bowl. You know, you have to get into the playoffs every year. You got to build the strongest roster possible. But sometimes, you know, your starting quarterback has an elbow injury. It impacts him down the stretch. Sometimes, you know, various circumstances can put you not at 100% going into the playoffs. The fact that Buffalo has been there over and over, I think, puts them in a good spot. Just like in Dallas. Again, I understand where people, you know, take aim at Mike McCarthy here, but you know, what have they done? The COVID year in 2020, it's really hard to really establish a culture there. That was a struggle. They didn't have the right defensive coordinator. They brought in Dan Quinn, and things turned around. 2021, they get in the playoffs. 2022, they win a playoff game. If they don't take that next step and get to the divisional playoffs or get to the conference championship game, then I think it's natural for anybody, including Jerry Jones, to say, okay, are we doing the right things here? But there's a belief level with Jerry and Mike that's at a higher level than I think a lot of people externally realize in Dallas.
I know that the NFL and HBO don't want to hold a team hostage, but it feels like they're pretty close to holding the Jets hostage for Hard Knocks here.
I mean, objectively, is there anyone who doesn't work for the Jets, who doesn't want to see the Jets on Hard Knocks? Like, in the end, if there's not a team just raising their hand and going, we absolutely want to do it, if you got to, you know, nudge somebody into doing it, the Jets are the natural team. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is obviously a fascinating story, but, you know, so is Robert Saleh. They got a lot of bright young players on that team. They got some big personalities in that building, guys like Nathaniel Hackett, who, you know, is certainly going to be motivated to show, you know, how smart of a coach he is, which is something that Aaron Rodgers has said repeatedly, even when Hackett was going through his struggles last year in Denver. You know, the Commanders, you can make a case for them too, because they're going to have, you know, you want to talk about coaches on the hot seat. I think Ron Rivera, naturally, with a new ownership group coming in, he's been there for 4 years.
Yeah.
He's going to be somebody who you look, if they don't make the playoffs here, yeah, his job is potentially going to be in doubt. But they've got, so they got that. They've got a potential quarterback competition because Sam Howell still has to hold off Jacoby Brissett. You got the Chase Young situation that's playing out there as well. The team is being sold. All those things, I think, make them a compelling case too. But it's hard to beat the Jets for drama. So unless there's a firm, if you want us to do this, you're going to catch a lot of hell because of it from us for however many years to come. I just think that the Jets are the logical fit, but we'll see how it all nets up.
But you know what would be great? If they did Hard Knocks on the Jets and the Jets openly didn't want to accommodate them, that's part of the HBO Hard Knocks, is the Jets don't want to be on Hard Knocks, but they're still trying to film all of this stuff. So you almost get that, you know, tension, animosity towards the camera crews and every, you know, maybe make interesting.
Right. The teams also get the final cut on these things. I mean, they get to see the show before it airs. They can say, we need to take things out. If you get a team that's not volunteering for it, that doesn't necessarily want to be on the show, then maybe you're not getting as good of stuff as, for instance, we got last year with Detroit, which really did run at the ball because they wanted to show off that Dan Campbell is a lot. There's a lot more to that guy than one soundbite from a press conference 2.5 years ago. And I think that he showed that both on the show and based on what they did in the second half of last season on the field.
Is Trey Lance further away to being an NFL quarterback or closer to being an NFL quarterback?
It's always complicated with Trey Lance, because even when he was coming out of college at North Dakota State, the people who had doubts about Trey Lance would just say he started, I want to say it was 15 games total in college, and he averaged like 22 passes or something like that over those games. He played one game during the COVID season. It was not a very good game, and all the issues about, you know, ball placement, accuracy, those kind of popped up a little bit in that game, and then we just haven't seen him. You know, the biggest thing was he needed to play football. He needed to get reps, because everybody loves Trey Lance as a guy. From everything that I've heard, he attacks it there. He studies. He's picked up the offense quickly. But the two knocks on him have been, it's the injuries and it's accuracy. Well, he has been injured, and because of those injuries, he's not been able to get the reps to work on the accuracy. So I don't know what Trey Lance is, and I don't think the 49ers ultimately know what he can be either, and neither does anybody else within the league. That's where, you know, there's certainly still a possibility that Trey Lance could be traded. They're going to want to get, you know, down the line here and see what Brock Purdy has going on. They're going to want to see Sam Darnold. They're probably going to want to see, does anybody get hurt during training camp? Because if there's any team that should have a healthy level of paranoia about injuries at the quarterback position, It's San Francisco. But what are you getting for Trey Lance right now? Yeah. You traded multiple first round picks to go up and get him a couple of years ago. There's no tape to show, hey, this is a guy who we think should be a starting quarterback someplace. So it's a difficult type of calculus there. I would anticipate that Brock Purdy is the starting quarterback for the 49ers. Everything that I have heard on Brock Purdy, his rehab since that internal brace surgery has been positive to this point. He went down to Jacksonville yesterday. He's working out with Will Hewlett and Tom Gormley on some mechanical things. You wouldn't be doing that for a couple of weeks in June and July if you were worried about, you know, taxing your arm and things like that. This is a process he's got to go through here, but every expectation right now for the 49ers and for Brock Purdy that he's out there ready to go for the season.
Finish this sentence. If the Arizona Cardinals end up with the worst record in football,
it's probably the best thing that can happen to them based on where they are at from a team building perspective. But listen, we all know what's going on in the draft next year. You got Caleb Williams. You got Drake May. You have other quarterbacks who potentially can play their way into that conversation as we get through the 2023 season here. And the Cardinals are at a point where you've got a new regime there. Jonathan Gannon and Monty Ossenfort, a quarterback they didn't draft in Kyler Murray, and a quarterback who's not going to be out there at the start of the season, in all likelihood, because he's coming off of the torn ACL. They will be in position to draft a quarterback. That would mean moving on, obviously, from Kyler Murray. His contract is very tradable. It would have been tradable even if they had wanted to trade him prior to this season. But with an injury, nobody's going to trade for a quarterback who's coming off of that level of an injury and is probably going to miss the majority of this season. Now, I'll also say the new regime has wrapped their arms around Kyler Murray. We saw the photos of them, you know, took the plane and went to his statue unveiling at Oklahoma. Everything that I've heard is that he's been in the meetings and he's been active and the new coaching staff, you know, likes him. But again, you're going to own potentially a really high pick in the 2024 draft, and you've got that once in a lifetime type of opportunity to go take the quarterback that you want. Also, don't forget, I thought it was really interesting how Monty Ossenfort proceeded through the 2023 draft, his first in charge. It was very much motivated by getting additional picks next year. So they got a one in 2024. I believe they have two extra twos in 2024. So even if they win some games, which, listen, Jonathan Gannon, his personality, the T word is not going to come out of his mouth. He's still going to go into this like, we're going to try to make the best of this thing and go try and win some games. But even if you somehow win 5-6 games there and you drop and you don't have the number one pick, they've got as much ammunition as anybody to go up and get one of those quarterbacks if they want to. I think one of the really interesting storylines this season, Dan, will be when Kyler Murray is cleared, whether that's October, November, December, depending, you know, on the severity of his injury and when exactly he's ready. How soon do they put him out there? How much of Kyler Murray do they want to see on the field, especially knowing that maybe that's the guy who wins you a game or two to maybe cost you in draft position as well. And then you also run the risk of him getting hurt. It's a really interesting thing there. I know that that staff is really focused on, you know, establishing their culture and things like that, but you're right to bring that up. I mean, there's a decent chance that they're going to have a really high pick here and they're going to have to make an evaluation at the quarterback position.
Thanks for taking time, Tom. We appreciate it.
You got it, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Tom Pelissero, NFL Network insider and co-hosting Good Morning Football this week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.